Good evening.
Great. Am I on?
Yes.
Good. Thank you so much, James. Well, it really is... let me put my water here. It really is great to be here, honestly. You know when you know something's a God idea instead of a good idea, you get a little bit excited about it. So I'm a little bit excited, actually. You know, and I'm not even Pentecostal. You know, I was interviewed on the television, and the interviewer said to me, "What's your churchmanship?" I said, "Churchmanship?" I said, "I'm a charismatic evangelical Pentecostal." And the lady said, "Is that Christian?" I said, "I'm the most kosher Christian that you can get. I really am." No, but it really is great. On one of my trips, I got onto the plane and I sat down next to this lady. "Hello." "Oh, hello." You know, and I said, "Oh, where are you going?" And she was going to Singapore. And she said, "Where are you going?" So I told her, chit-chat. I said, "What do you do?" And she told me. And then she says, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I work for a global enterprise." She said, "Do you?" I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "We've got outlets in nearly every country of the world." I said, "We do marriage guidance counselling." I said, "We run orphanages." I said, "We've got hospices. We've got hospitals." I said, "We've got schools, colleges, universities, publishing companies." I said, "We look after people from birth to death, and we deal in the area of behavioural alteration." She said, "Wow." I said, "I know what you mean." She says, "What's it called?" I said, "It's called the church." And all she wanted to do was to talk to me from London to Singapore, and I only wanted to watch movies. And no, it is great. It really is great. Because occasions like this, I don't know what it is, but obviously it's the God factor. But, you know, because sometimes we take time aside and we come to a conference like this, we're able to come and gain new insights and gain new perspectives so that we can go back, revitalize, energize, seeing things maybe in a slightly different way. I was driving. I have one wife. Her name is Killy. And I have three sons, Michael, Simeon and Benjamin. And they're all in the car, and Ben was at the back. And he said, "Daddy." And I said, "Yes, Ben." He said, "Before you married Mum, who told you how to drive?" You know, it all depends on where you sit, isn't it? You're going to kind of view things in a slightly different way. Perspective is very, very important. And our hope and our prayer is that we will all gain new perspectives. There was this workman in a factory, and at the end of a working day, he was pushing out his wheelbarrow, and he was stopped by a security guard. And the guard says, "What have you got in your wheelbarrow?" He says, "Well, I've got a small box." He says, "Well, I can see that. What is in the box?" He says, "Well, you know the sawdust on the floor? At the end of a working day, it's swept up and thrown away. Well, I needed a bit, so I put it in a box and I'm taking it home." The security guard says, "Open the box." He opens the box, sawdust, out you get. Next day, same thing. Third day, same thing. Fourth day, same thing. Fifth day, he's pushing out his wheelbarrow. Inside the wheelbarrow is a small box, stopped by the same security guard. The guard says, "It's you again. What have you got in your wheelbarrow?" He says, "I've got a small box." He says, "I know it's a small box. What is in it?" He says, "Look, it's the same as the other 4 days. It's sawdust." He goes, "Well, open it." Opens it, sawdust. The security guard says, "I've just got this feeling that you're up to something. In fact, I think you're stealing something." He says, "Look, come on, just tell me what you're stealing. Go on, put me out of my misery. Just tell me, and I won't report you." And the man says, "Oh, all right then, I'm stealing wheelbarrows." Do you know, you can be so preoccupied with your little box. You can be so preoccupied with your little thing that you actually miss the big picture. You know, it's so easy. It is so easy to be preoccupied with just the... And it's very important to say, yes, thank the Lord for what we're part of in our community. But Lord, let me see that in the light of the big picture. Let me see the bigger picture. Let me, you know, think globally, act locally. Let me get the big picture. Repeat that after me. Think globally. I said after me. Think globally, act locally. A girl went off to college and she didn't contact her parents for quite a long time. And then she felt really bad. So then she wrote a letter. Here's the letter. Dear Mum and Dad, since I left for college, I've been remiss in writing and I'm sorry for my thoughtlessness in not having written before. I'll bring you up to date, but before I do, please sit down. Are you sitting down? It's very important that you sit down before you read on. Well, I'm getting along pretty well now. The skull fracture and concussion I got when I jumped out of my dormitory window, when it caught on fire shortly after my arrival. It is pretty well healed. I only get those sick headaches a couple of times a day. Fortunately, the fire in my dorm and the jump was witnessed by an attendant at the petrol station. He ran over, took me to hospital, and continued to visit me there. When I got out of the hospital, I had nowhere to live because of the burnt-out conditions of my room, so he was kind enough to invite me to share his basement bedroom flat with him. It's sort of small but very cute. He is a very fine boy, and we have fallen deeply in love and are planning to get married. We haven't set the exact date yet, but it will be before my pregnancy begins to show. Yes, Mum and Dad, I'm pregnant. I know how much you are looking forward to bringing grandparents, and I know you will welcome the baby and give it the same tender care and devotion that you gave me when I was a child. The reason for the delay in our marriage is that my boyfriend has an infection which I carelessly caught from him. I know, however, that you will welcome him into our family with open arms. He is kind, and although not well educated, he is ambitious. Although he is of a different race and religion than ours, I know that your often expressed tolerance will not permit you to be bothered by that. In conclusion, now that I've brought you up to date, I want to tell you there was no dormitory fire. I did not have concussion and I do not have skull fracture. I was not in the hospital and I'm not pregnant. I do not have an infection and there is no boyfriend in my life. However, I have failed history and science. However, I have failed history and science, and I wanted you to see these results in their proper perspective. You see, had she written, "Dear Mum and Dad, I'm sure I've not been in touch, but I've failed all my exams." You failed your exams? What do you mean you failed your exams? I mean, what do you think? Well, you know, but when you read this, and then she said she failed her exams, you say, "Darling, fail the lot. It's fine. It's fine." You see, perspective is very, very important. And so our prayer is, Lord, give us your perspective. You know, how do you see things? You see, we look up to the cross, but Jesus looked down. Different perspective. What do you see, Lord? And that's going to be our prayer through this conference. What do you see? What do you feel? Give us your perspective. Help us not to be preoccupied and distracted with a small thing and diverted. What's the big picture? You see, often it's not the mountain ahead of us that's the problem. It's the grain of sand in your shoe, isn't it? It's kind of like, hey, look, it's a little grain of sand. And we're like, oh, what's in my shoe? And we're distracted with a little grain. Gain the big picture. That was taken out of one of the books that we brought called Box of Delights. In fact, there are three different volumes filled with about 500 different stories, anecdotes and illustrations. So you might like to look at those with some other resources that we've brought. I'll make reference to a couple of them in the sessions. So perspective, how important that is. Also, purpose. We need to know what we're really all about. So many people, sadly, suffer from the Columbus syndrome. Columbus set off and he didn't know where he was going. And then when he got there, he didn't know where he was. And then when he got back, he didn't know where he'd been. It's actually really good for us, isn't it, to know what are we really all about? What is the purpose? What is it about? 800,000 words in the Bible. So, you know, what is the strap line of the Bible? You had one little strap line. What is the strap line of the Bible? Well, in the words of the Apostle Paul, to know Christ and to make him known. That's the strap line of the Bible. Everything else is application and commentary. That's what it is. That is it. Isn't it? You know, I was thinking about Elim as I was during the worship, Elim, and I was playing around with the letters, Elim and Elim, and I came up with this. Enthusiastic lives in mission. That's what you are. Now, do you realise what enthusiastic? The word enthusiastic comes from the word entheos, in God. In other words, how can you be in God and not be enthusiastic? Doesn't make sense, does it, really? Does it? Yeah? How can you be in God and not be enthusiastic? The word enthusiastic comes from in God. Enthusiastic lives in mission. Now, that's what I'm going to be talking about in my next three sessions. Enthusiastic lives in mission. How do we fulfill this kind of mandate of knowing Christ and making him known? Being clear about the purpose. You see, if we're really honest, we are so manic in our lives. So many of us have got so many irons in the fire, we've actually put the fire out. Anyone identify with that? Eh? I mean, I remember some years ago, I went to the toilet. I came out of the toilet, went into the kitchen, sat down. I said to my wife, I'm having a breakdown. She said, well, how do you know? I said, well, I flushed the toilet before I started. I used to be in such a hurry that I went in there, I flushed it first. And our lives can be so manic. Someone said that if your output exceeds your input, then your upkeep will be your downfall. If your output exceeds your input, then your upkeep will be your downfall. You see, so we've taken some time aside. Why? Because it's probably true that many of us have got too many irons in the fire. If you don't live by priorities, you're going to live by pressures. So it's a matter of discovering what are God's priorities for you. For you, as part of the big picture. You and I can't do everything. It's very interesting that in John chapter 17, Jesus says, I've completed the work the Father gave me to do. What do you mean you've completed the work? There's masses to do. I mean, millions of people haven't even heard of you. You can heal a few more people. You can feed a few more. I mean, what do you mean you've... Hey, God doesn't expect us to do everything. In other words, we need to discover what it is that God wants us to do. And if you have got too many irons in the fire, our prayer is that during these next couple of days, God will reveal that to you. You'll get some revelation. It's not about putting more irons in the fire. It's about saying, Lord, which ones do I need to take out? Put them aside and stoke that fire up. Stoke the fire up. Don't put the fire out through busyness. Don't put the fire out because, you know, you can't say no. You see, so many of us in the ministry are addicted to the word yes. You know, we kind of rebuke people who have any kind of addictions. Yeah, they're addicted to drugs or addicted to this. You know, well, most of us are addicted. We don't talk about our addictions, that we have an addiction to the word yes. You know, but actually you can say no. You can say no. You know, Jesus says, hey, boys, let's go to the other side. Oh, Jesus, the people want to talk to you. He goes, quickly, let's go. I like that. That's really good, isn't it? Come on, let's go. Isn't it nice hanging around Jesus? Well, we've had enough. Let's go. You know, not you don't hear many sermons about that, do you? Come on, let's go. You know, it's a matter of balance. It's a matter of balance, you see? So it's a matter of getting the big picture, because you got that with a purpose, yeah? And you're passionate. You're not putting the fire out. You're stoking that fire. So all these principles are so, so important. Birthing it all in prayer. I'll talk a lot more about that tomorrow. But it is so, so important. And it was really interesting. I thought, right, I've got a whole pile of books that are kind of piling up that I intend to read. And I'm a reader, actually. I read books. And I read a lot of books. So I've got this whole pile. And I thought, all right, what shall I take with me on this trip? Pretty long trip. And lots of time to read on the plane and all that sort of thing. And I looked at my new books, either books I've bought or books I've been sent. And I thought, no. And I said, Lord, what shall I take with me? And I just had this great sense I should take a book I'd read years ago on prayer, written by Richard Foster. In fact, it's the best book I've ever read on prayer. And I just felt the Lord challenging me again to revisit this whole area. You know, we can never say we've learnt how to pray, because the ultimate is that you're totally mastered by Him, aren't you? But sadly, we're not. Everything that we are, everything that we do needs to be birthed in prayer. It really is so, so important. And I would encourage you during these days to take up the opportunity to be prayerful, to be prayerful on your own. Maybe to take a prayer walk before breakfast or after breakfast, and just on your own and in conversation with the Lord, walk with Him. And at times, silence. At times, be still and know that I am God. In other words, shut up. Just be still. Be quiet. Be quiet. Stop. Just know that He's God. And maybe some of us need to do that over these next couple of days. And say, Lord, I want to engage with You again. I really want to. You see, everybody in the whole world needs a new heart. Do you agree with that? Of course they do. They all need a new heart. Now, we've all got a new heart, haven't we? Yeah? You're not very enthusiastic about that. We have got a new heart. That wasn't a rhetorical question. Yeah. But the problem is, many of us have got blocked arteries. You see, the reason that there's such bad circulation in church is because there are so many people who've got new hearts, but they've got blocked arteries. And it's a matter of saying, Lord, unblock those arteries. What is it? You know, I'm not saying it's sin. We just could be too busy to pray. We could have so many irons in the fire that actually we're not in the will of God. We could be so distracted and diverted. Now, it could be sin. It could be that but it's a whole mixture of things, isn't it? You know the Beatitudes? One of the Beatitudes says, the pure shall see God. Okay? Now, you know when some people say the Greek says this, half the time it doesn't. All right? Now, I am Greek, okay? I'm Greek. I am bilingual. I read the Bible in Greek. Okay, so if I tell you the Greek says, you can almost say, it's probably right, actually, right? Because I sit there sometimes listening to people say the Greek says, and I look at it and I go, it doesn't! So, okay, the pure shall see God. The word pure in Greek literally means no mixed motives. So the people who are going to see God are the people with no mixed motives. Wow. Lord, I got a mixed motive in my heart. They're the people who are going to see God. So the question is, do we want to see God? Of course we want to see God. Got any mixed motives? About what I do? Why I do it? What's the motive behind it all? Is it to glorify God? Is that the reason? You know, so here's an opportunity, isn't it? An opportunity over these few days to say, Lord, speak to me. Revelation, speak to me. If I've got too many irons in the fire, show me how to put them aside, how to stoke up the fire. Have I got mixed motives in my heart? Show me. Lord, have I got blocked arteries? I don't even know it. You see, there's a lot of people walking around physically and they've got blocked arteries and they don't know it. And often those people, when they do discover it's too late, Lord, unblock those arteries. Unblock those arteries. So, so important, isn't it? So, what are we going to do? We want to get the big picture. Why? Get his perspective so that we can be passionate about the things that he's passionate about and not distracted. Birth it all in prayer. And I'm going to spend time talking about that tomorrow in the context of a whole theme on the church. In partnership. You know, none of us have got it together, but together we've got it. Repeat that after me. None of us have got it together. But together we've got it. That is so true. That is so true. And look, I'm a Christian, first and foremost. I'm a Christian. I function from the Anglican Church. That's the kind of umbrella. I don't just work with Anglican churches. Well, obviously, I'm here today, aren't I? But what I want to say by that is, I actually commend you, James and others that invited me to come. And Luke and others who, that is great because you're saying, hey, look, none of us have got it together. But together we've got it. And that's a really good thing, isn't it? I was speaking at a conference for leaders, and at this conference for leaders, I was just about to use an analogy about snowflakes. And just before I did, I said, people say that no two snowflakes are alike. I said, who on earth does all the research? just as a little throwaway. Anyway, I finished speaking. Now, by the way, this is a true story. Some of my stories are not true. No, I don't mean they're lies. Look, Jesus said there was a man walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. That was called a story. See what I mean? That's a little story that he told. He told lots of little stories, you see. And sometimes I'll tell stories. Now, when I tell a story, I'll tell you it's a story, so you know, okay? But this is true. I finished speaking. A man comes up to me, he says, J. John, I'm Dr. So-and-so. He says, I'm a snowflake scientist. I said, no, you're not. He says, yes, I am. I says, you're not. He says, well, I am. And I thought, God, he's such a good actor. He's almost conning me. And I thought some of my friends have probably got this guy, he's a good actor, to try and, kind of wind me up a bit. Anyway, it turned out the guy was a scientist who kind of specialised in snowflakes. And from the configuration of snowflakes, that he worked out the mathematics of this, and then they used that for certain things. I mean, it's mind-blowing. So I said, well, is it true? He says, it is true. I mean, can you imagine? I met the man! Now, here was the analogy I wanted to use. When it snows, and a snowflake falls to your face, it melts incredibly quickly. But when you get thousands of snowflakes together, they can stop traffic. You see, on our own, we're incredibly fragile. But together, we're a strength. And you know, it's good to hold that in the context of everything else. Hey, what's the big picture? What is the big picture, Lord? What's the purpose? Birthed in prayer. What's your passion? Make that my passion. In partnership with others. Being incredibly positive. Yes, there's a big task. And it is big. There's a lot of work to do. But it is about being positive. And one of the things I do like about Pentecostals is that they are, my experience is that, you know, you're kind of very positive sort of people. You know, because often you meet a lot of Christians who aren't. You know, how are you? Well, so and so under the circumstances. I mean, even the way they say it to you, you feel heavy, don't you? As they're talking to you, you feel like burdened. You know, how are you? So and so under the circumstances. What are you doing under the circumstances? Circumstances like a mattress. If you lie on top, it's nice and comfortable. But if you lie underneath, you suffocate. Isn't it? So a lot of people you talk to, how are you? And they go, I'm okay under the mattress. I can't really breathe very well, but I'm okay. Do you know what I mean? Come on. Listen, when David saw Goliath, there were two possible reactions. The first reaction was, he's really big. Oh no, I better run away. The second reaction, he's really big. How can I miss? You know, some of us need to keep, come on, because I'm sure we have come here. You know, some of us have come here a bit worn out and burdened and concerned, possibly preoccupied with pastoral issues and things like that. You know, we need to lay them at the foot of the cross. And Lord, you're a big God, an awesome God. You know, remind me again, Lord, of who you are. And that the message that I endeavour to proclaim is a message that has embraced me and has gripped me. That I may know afresh of what this truth is, of what this message is really all about. Perspective. God's perspective. That's what we want to see. Be clear on the purpose. Take those irons out. Prayerful, in partnership. Whoa, yes. And within all of that, you know, being providers. You know, a lot of people have heard the Sermon on the Mount, but they haven't heard the Sermon on the Mount. Have you noticed? They haven't heard that one. I don't know, do you know the story about the man at the airport who wanted to buy a bag of donuts and a coffee? Have you heard this one? Well, he wanted to buy a bag of little donuts and a coffee. And he's looking for somewhere to sit, but all the tables are taken. So he sees one table where there was one man sitting. So he thinks, I'll go and sit opposite him. So he goes to the table, he puts his coffee down, puts his bags down, gets his coat off, puts it around the chair, sits in the chair. Gets his coffee, has a little sip. Picks up the bag of donuts, opens it, takes out a little donut, starts eating it, puts the bag down. The man opposite stretches over, picks up the bag of donuts, takes out a donut, starts eating it, puts the bag down, smiles. The other guy can't believe it. He's just nicked one of my donuts. I mean, what is the world coming to? I mean, people do it and smile today. I mean, He's so annoyed. You can feel the anger welling up within him. He thinks, oh, I better not say anything. Because if I do, you know, the wrong thing's going to come out. So he picks up his bag of donuts, takes out a little donut, moves it near to his coffee, right to the edge of the table. While he's having his coffee, the man stretches over, picks up the bag of donuts, takes out another donut, starts eating it, puts the bag down, smiles. The other guy thinks he's done it twice. He's obviously not quite there, is he? You know, we would say in England, you know, a span is short of a toolkit, or a, you know, a banana short of a fruit bowl, something like that. He thinks, well, maybe the guy's not quite there, you know, but he gives him one of these looks could kill looks. The guy gets up to leave, so the other man thinks it's about time you left, you donut thief. He put his coat on, picked up his bag. He then picked up the bag of donuts. There's one donut left. He takes it out, breaks it in half, half in his mouth, half on the bag, moves the bag, smiles, waves, off he goes. The guy thinks, I'm not going to touch that half donut, you donut thief. It's probably full of infection. Looks at his watch. Oh, it's time for me to go. He gets up. He puts his coat on. He bends down to pick his bag. And sitting on top of his bag was his bag of donuts. He was complaining that the other man had stolen his donuts. When in fact, the other man was sharing his donuts. God owns all the donuts. God owns all the donuts. And every week we get given a bag of donuts. And inside the bag, there are 10 donuts. And God says, right, I want you to take one of the donuts and give it to the church that you go to. That's called tithing. Give it every week. You think, I've only got 9. I need 11. And the incredible miracle of this, isn't it? Many of you know the miracle of this, that 9 becomes 11, or somebody comes along and says, can I give you 2 donuts? And you go, oh, yes, please. I'm like, yes, please. We have 10 donuts. God says, every week, take a donut, give it to the church that you go to. You're left with 9. Most of us don't need 9 donuts. Most of us don't need 9 donuts. We don't. You know, there are people in the church who only need 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. And then God says, right, okay, you give your weekly donut every week. And then he says, right, you know, use a donut to do this. You know, chuck a donut over there. You know, give a little donut over there. Do you know that with all recorded revivals, there are only 2 common denominators with all recorded revivals. The 2 common denominators are these: prayer and generosity. There is no other common denominator. Prayer and generosity. At the end of the day, we're here, aren't we? Because we're passionate about the Lord. We're passionate about seeking the lost. And if you're not, you will be in the next 3 days, I tell you. Because I'm warming up, you know. This is just fruit juice. You know, we're going to get onto this, you know. But that's what we're going to, you know, that's what it's about, isn't it? But, you know, the thing is, at the heart of it is prayer. It is prayer. It's that humility. Bowing down to the Lord, seeking instructions, in communion with Him. And it's generosity. God says, test me in this. Test me in this. Just see. Test me. Test me. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Give away your, you know, time and talents and treasure. Give it away. Give it away. We need to learn this principle even more. Even more. If we want God to be generous to us, let's be generous. Generous in everything. In who we are, whatever. Just be generous. Generous. I think too many of us expect God to be generous and we're incredibly stingy. Purity. In the context of his perspective, purpose, passion, prayerful, in partnership, this is about being pure. It is about no mixed motives. It is a purity of heart that God is seeking, a purity of heart. You can imagine John the Baptist out in the desert. You know the story. Thousands of people going out to see John the Baptist. It's pretty impressive. Well, there's this guy who's just graduated from business school with his MBA, and he's there as well. He looks at all this, he thinks, this is incredible. I mean, how can thousands of people come out in the desert, no publicity, no brochures, nobody's doing any door knocking. I mean, people are just going, and they're walking miles to go and repent, and then go and be baptized. This is pretty amazing, but it's all disorganized. You know, graduate of the business school, I could sort this out. So, now this is not true. This is, you know, this is called poetic license, okay? So he goes up to John the Baptist. He says, John, I've been watching this for a few days. I'm pretty impressed. But John, it's all a bit disorganized. I mean, look, they're coming from absolutely everywhere. And you're getting a little bit confused, aren't you? Look, he says, I'll tell you what. How about we get into a bit of a partnership and I'll do some training and get the whole thing set up, you know, administratively, organizationally. John goes, oh, all right, then we'll go on then. What do you suggest? He goes, well, look, what I'll do is I'll do a bit of training and I'll train people. And then I'll set up little desks, and the people I train sit behind the desks, okay? Everybody, they come from everywhere, they have to line up at one of those desks. And then they get to the desk, and then we get a card, and we say, what's your name? Give us the name, write the name on the card, then we say, what's the biggest sin you've ever committed? Then we write the sin down, write it down, write it on the card, dear. Slap it on there, they get out of the river, you see the name, see the sin, do the baptism. What do you reckon, John? John says, yeah, go on, let's give it a go, let's do it. So, he does the training, all the little desks are all sorted, all the people are lining up, then he come. Name, Mark, okay. Biggest sin you've ever committed, Mark. I just want to have what other people have got. Okay, then. Coveter. Okay, Mark. Okay, name. Ali. Biggest sin you've ever committed, Ali. Yeah, I've stolen. Thief. Okay. Name. Rob. Biggest sin you've ever committed, Rob. Yeah, lied. Liar. Name. Anna. Biggest sin you've ever committed, Anna. Yeah, I've committed adultery. Adulterer. Anna. Name. Barry. Biggest sin you've ever committed. Yeah, I lost my temper and took someone's life. Oh, murderer. Okay. May, Mary, biggest sin you've ever committed, Mary. I break the Sabbath, you know, I just don't keep it. Sabbath breaker. Alright, okay. Name, Paul, biggest sin you've ever committed, Paul. I don't honour my parents. Oh, dishonour parents. Name, Ruth. Biggest sin you've ever committed, Ruth. Yeah, I misuse the name of the Lord. Blasphemer. Okay. Name. Karen. Biggest sin you've ever committed, Karen. Yeah, I'm an idol worshipper. Name. Jesus. Biggest sin you've ever committed, Jesus. None. Biggest sin you've ever committed, Jesus. None. Little sin you've ever committed, Jesus. None. None. Mark, give me your badge. Ali, give me your badge. Rob, give me your badge. Anna, give me your badge. Barry, give me your badge. Mary, give me your badge. Paul, give me your badge. Ruth, give me your badge. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. John, you can baptize me now. That's our message. That's the message. That's our message. This is it. This is what we believe. Jesus Christ came to set us free. He didn't come into this world to rub it in. He came into this world to rub it out. That's why it's good news. That's the message we are going to be proclaiming. That's the message that we need to allow to impact our own lives. So we may have come with clogged arteries. We may have come with impure motives, impure thoughts. We may have come with attitudes and actions that need purifying. We may simply just be too busy and have so many irons in the fire, we've actually put the fire out. It's actually out. It's gone. Or it's just flickering. But we're here saying, Lord, it's you. What's your agenda? Help me to step back. Stoke the fire up. Wow. Gain his perspective. It's not about doing more. In fact, it's about doing less. Do less and achieve more. Don't work harder, work sharper. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10. If the axe is blunt, you have to use a lot of strength to chop wood. That's obvious, isn't it? So what's the point? If the axe is sharp, you don't need to use a lot of strength to chop wood. Don't work harder, work sharper, sharper. So Lord, show me, just again, what is the purpose? I want your passion, because unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. It's not about great oratory. It's not about human wisdom, human initiative. Yes, God takes all that, but we want God to build the house. We want God's anointing. We want God's blessing. We want Him to lead, guide, birth. That's what we want. But everyone, would you all please stand? Just put your things down. And let's just stand in silence for a moment. If what you've heard this evening connects with you, you feel, yeah, that's got me. Something about what you've heard, you'd say, yeah, that's right. That's a pretty good diagnosis of me. If that's you, then just sit down. Wherever you are, just take your seats. If that's you, just sit down as a way of saying, hey, that's me. Okay. But those of us standing, just look round. Not, you know, in terms of looking who sat down, but to kind of turn around so that you're looking at the people that have sat down, okay? And maybe stretch out a hand. If you're near anyone, you might like just lay your hand on somebody. And let's pray for these people sitting down. In fact, some of you may want to just move round and just put your hand, lay your hands on people as we pray. I'll start the prayer, and let's all intercede for these people. Lord, you know everyone that sat down. You know why they've sat down, and you know what that sitting down is expressing, is saying. And Lord God, we pray that you will touch them by your Spirit, and that you will set them free, that you will liberate them from the past. May each of them know that you are a Father who is tender and sympathetic. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your love. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed their sins from them. May they know the Father's embrace. Lord, we ask, come down and touch each one and ignite within them your fire. Make those springs of living water well up within them to overflowing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on all of us. Come down and visit us, we pray. Lord, give each person that is sitting down and those of us that are standing revelation. We want to have our hearts and minds illuminated by you over these days. Give us revelation. Open our ears, open our hearts and minds to hear you. And show us, Lord, if we've got irons in the fire that we need to take out, show us, Lord, the areas in our lives that need reviewing or realigning with you. Give us, Lord, direction, so that when we do leave here at the end of the conference, every single one of us will know that we have been sent out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work and play and rest and to do it all to your praise and glory. So Lord God, be the great physician. Unblock our arteries, we pray, because we want you to be circulating in our lives. Create spiritual vitality and spiritual health in us. That's what we're asking, Lord. Be the great doctor. Be the great physician. Be the great healer. And Lord, you know the concerns that many of us may have. We've even brought them with us. And Lord, we want to say, we want to lay those concerns at your feet. And we pray that you would grant us the peace that passes all understanding. Just keep praying for a moment. Keep praying for these people. Just, you know, you might feel led just to go and lay hands on somebody and just pray for them.